Yes, sir. Listen. No one can defeat him.
No one can defeat him.
Yes, sir. No one can take his place. Come on.
No one can take his place.
No one can defeat him. Come on, say it if you believe it.
No one can defeat him.
Oh, no one can take his place. Come on.
Come on. He is a strong tower.
You'll never lose.
Glory unto be unto God on this thankful Tuesday morning. How many of you can say, just like the stone writer say, that God is undefeated or can be defeated? Well, I can sit here and tell you that my God will never be defeated. He's always victorious. And because he's always victorious, it gives me the opportunity to be victorious in everything that I set my mind, my heart, and my spirit to do. And I'm just thankful on this Tuesday morning that we are here, and just grateful that God has given us another day. So you know what that means? That we have defeated. We are an overcomer of the different things that happened yesterday. Because unfortunately, there are some that was not fortunate as you and I are on this morning that God has made. So therefore, you and I shall rejoice in it. Not let our have our head down, not feeling all sad and soggy, but just to know that we have been revived, we have been resurrected, we have been rejuvenated on this morning. And yesterday was yesterday, and today we will dance, we will shout, we will do everything that's necessary to show the Lord that we love him, we praise him, and we worship him. And so on this morning, we're going to go into a prayer. Just to always, we always have to give God his reverence. We always need to let him know that he is always thought about. He's always on our mind. He's always in our heart. So, Father God, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just again thank you, Father God, for being who you are, Father, our creator, Lord. Elohim, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the heavens. We thank you for the earth, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you made a decision, Father, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you let us know, Father God, that you are our very help, Father God. You are our existence, Father God. You are the breath that we breathe, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the fresh wind, the fresh anointing, Father God, that just came on us today, Lord, because it is a new day, Father God. It is a new minute, a new second, a new hour, Father God. But the beauty of it, Lord, we're in your presence, Father God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for giving us that opportunity, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you extend your loving arms, Father God, but not to you, not just extend them, Lord Jesus. You wrap them around us, Father God. You wrap them around us, Father, to give us a place of safety, Father God, to protect us from all evil, dangers, toils, and snares, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for new mercy, Father God, new grace, Father God, on today, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving God, Father God, a God, Lord Jesus, that hears us, Father God, when we pray, Lord Jesus, whether you give us a yes, Father God, and an amen or a no, or nay, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us, that you pay attention to us, Father God. But most of all, God, we thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your unfailing love, Lord Jesus. That love, Father God, from that blood that shed on Calvary, Father, but it's still, Lord Jesus, going through the mountains, going through everywhere, Father God. It's still alive, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that keeps lifting us up and keep moving us and pushing us and guiding us, Father God. Lord, we just thank you on today, Father God. We thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. We cannot leave this air broadcast without thanking you for this day, Father God. For this time, Father God. This moment, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the tools that you have given us, Father God, to continue, Lord, to do your work, Father God, your will, Father. So, Lord, as this broadcast go on this morning, Lord, we just ask that self-decrease, Father God, and your Holy Spirit just explode, just take over, just show out, Father God. Just withholding nothing, Lord Jesus, and allow everybody, Father God, to have an understanding, Father God. a knowing, Father God, of who you are, Father God. Not just believing, but a knowing, Father God. So we thank you on this morning, Father God. We thank you for loving us, keeping us, Father God, and most of all for nurturing us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So I was going back and forth in reference to where the Holy Spirit would lead me. I'm a word person, and I'm always asking God, what is it that you want the people to hear? Not what I want, because you know, when we let self get in the way, we can come up with 1,000 things, but we have to always, as the scripture say, seek ye God. You know, seek God first in everything that we do. So, about 2-something this morning, the scripture I would look is Psalms 121:1-2. And it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So I said, okay, Father. And I just thanked him for that scripture. But then I got up this morning and I started. I like to make sure that I'm not saying anything that I'm not supposed to say. I know what the Holy Spirit tells me. But one thing Apostle Temple says, and not just Apostle Temple, just everybody in general, he iterates it and he reiterates it, because his thing is, I never want anybody to be lost, you know, based off of something that we say. So I start research. I'm always researching the scriptures, and I came up with a little bit of confusion. I found it like I was like all over the place, like swimming. And the reason being is that I looked at the NIV and it read, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? A question mark came in place. So did the NLT. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? A question mark. English Standard Version. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help? You know, a question mark. But then when I went to the King James Version, it was a statement. It was a statement. It was no question marks, no exclamations, no nothing. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, comma, from which cometh my help. So I had to go back to the Holy Spirit, and I was like, look, Father, it's different things going on here to me with my understanding. So how do I present this? And I'm going to tell you what came in my spirit. When you say this scripture, and it's one that I say so often, when you say this scripture, what does that scripture mean to you? What are you saying? When it comes to you, what is your understanding? Are you asking a question, or are you making a statement? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And I had to go back, and I said, when I look to the hills, Father, I'm looking unto you, because I know that you are, that my help comes from you. So I went on and continued to study a little bit more. And in Psalms 3, David, cross-referencing scriptures, David, it paralleled to this scripture. And David was surrounded around a whole bunch of enemies. And he was asking God to help him, for deliverance, to take him out of the place where he was at that point in time. And when you look at the commentary, you know, different people have different things to say about it, because some do, see it as a question mark, and some see it as a statement. So on today, I see it as a statement. So as I continue to go on in it, I'm going into, you know, cross references and looking up commentaries. It took me to, and this is after I asked, when the Lord said, what is it saying to you? So when I got to John 11, verse 41, it says, so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. See, the question is that, like I said, some of the commentaries say, will you look to the hills for your help, or are you looking for God? Are you looking for the to the mountains, or are you looking for God? But see, I'm wondering if the eyes going up, if that's necessary. Can you pray the different postures that you can pray? When there are times when I pray, I am looking up to God. And those who know me, when I first came to ADM, I gave a testimony of how I used to, when I was 6 years old, used to just climb trees, the highest tree that I could get to, because I was trying to get to God. Because at that time, everything had been taken away from me that meant anything to me. And I realized, hallelujah, that I only had God at that point in time. I realized that if I could just sit there hours after hours and just have this conversation and be able to tell him everything that I needed to. So I was trying to get to the highest point, and that was the highest point in my life spiritually without me knowing at six, and it was my highest point on the natural as well, because that's where I had set my mind to. And in this scripture, Jesus raised his eyes. He looked to the heavens because he knew that that's where his help came from. He knew that that's where his Father dwelt at. Even though he's a spirit, he knew that he looked up and he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. So as I continued to read on, there was nothing else. A man's commentary at this point in time meant nothing to me, because see, I sought God's word first. I sought his instruction. I sought what I asked him. Father, I got a little bit of confusion here right now from this scripture, and I hear it so much, but people may be looking at it in a different. And I was taught, it's going on 3 years now, it's not what it's what God said to you. And what God said to me was, continue. If that's what you feel, if that's where you feel, if that's what you feel or what you're saying, if that's what's happening, if that's what's making you to continue to pray to me, to continue to seek my advice, and if that's the technique that you have found looking up into the heavens, then you need to continue to do so. Because, see, one thing I do know about God, the Creator, he's not just our Creator. He is our everything. He is our provider. He is our deliverer. He is everything that you could possibly think about. So why not give him the reverence? Why not give him the reverence if that's what you feel by looking up? See, in the Bible, even in the commentaries too, it also talks about the mountains, because even then in the mountains, that was the place too where, remember, God was where Moses was up in the mountains with God. He was in a sacred place with God. So people do realize that the mountains equate or is an example of being in a most sacred place with God. So the mountains also represent sacred, you know, sacred. That's where the ark was kept, in the mountains. So when people look up in the mountains, they're looking up to find God. They're looking up. Their eyes are looking up in the hills, in the mountains, because they're seeking our Father. They're seeking our Daddy. They're seeking Abba, because they're in a place of distress. They're in a place where they need him, and they realize that can't nobody but him, not man, nobody but our Father can be the person that's going to deliver them or to help them in their time of distress. And David saw that in Psalms 3. David seen it in most of all the Psalms. David, the authors, they were crying out for the presence of God. They were crying out for God's attention. Sometimes it was immediate attention. Even when they was worshiping him, they were worshiping God. They were showing God reverence. They were letting him know. And it does not, I want to say this to you, though. It does not matter if your eyes are looking up into the hills. That's what I do. I look up, and there's times I don't. There's times I'm prostrated. There's times I'm sitting at my desk and just having a conversation with God. I'm driving down the street. But when the point of it is not where you're looking, it's not where you're at, it's who you're seeking. Let me say that. You're not going to seek man first. Now, God will sometimes give you people to be your guidance. He will put people around you to give you direction. But how do you get to those people? Do you just sit and you walk up to them and say, "Hi, my name is Evangelist Nita. I need help, blah, 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 blah." Or do we go and we seek ye first the kingdom of God? And see, this is what this scripture is saying to me, that I will look up to the heavens and I will ask God, I will let him know that I need you, that I realize, Father, that nobody but you, it's nobody but you, Lord Jesus, that can take me where I need to be, that can give me the answers that I need, Father, that can take me from one place to the next place. There's nobody but you, Lord Jesus. So, yes, on a daily, sometimes all throughout the day, I'm seeking him. I'm looking up. I'm calling for help in times of trouble. When my asthma acting up so bad, I'm calling on Jesus. Father, I need a fresh wind. Come on, help me out, because this is getting a little bit too overwhelming for me. What we need to know, saints, that our help comes from the Lord no matter which way you seek him. As long as you are seeking him with pureness, with genuineness, and long as you believe what you are asking him for, as long as you know, even when we're worshiping God, what are you worshiping him for? Have you ever asked yourself that? What are you praising and worshiping God for? Are you doing it because you want to be the person in the church that can do the holy dance the best, or the loudest person on the praise team for people to praise you and not praise God? Or are you doing it because you have a reverence for God? You want to show him that he's your everything, that I adore you, how great you are. You're majestic. You're more than wonderful. You're everything. You're an exceedingly and abundantly God, that you love us unconditionally. The question is, it's a question. It's not the question, where does your help come from? The question is, why are you praising him? Why are you worshiping him? Are you doing it because he is your everything? Do you really truly realize who God is in your life? Do you truly believe that without God that you're nothing? Because we do know that Satan can give you things in life if that's the master that you choose. But see, one thing about God, Satan's stuff is temporal. God's stuff is permanent. The blessings, not stuff, let's say it right. The blessings that you receive from God, the mercies that you receive from God, the grace that you receive from God is everlasting. Every day that you wake up is a new mercy. It's a new mercy. Every time you see the sun shine, the moon shine, whatever it may be, it's a new mercy. And it was God's grace that kept you here on today. And because we see the different things that God is doing in our lives, we need to let him know. We need to show him some reverence. We need to let him identify, Father, we know that it's you and only you, Father God. We know that it's you and only you. When the Holy Spirit told me, I had a conversation. I'm going to give a quick testimony. Before I came to ADM, I was 3 years without going to a church. 3 years without going to a church. I said, God, I do not want to go to a big church where the pastor does not know my name, where he can't shake my hand, where I can't get a message to him and say I need prayer, if I need some healing. And the Holy Spirit said, hold on. Thing of it is, I had a place to stay, but I hadn't given my son my vehicle because he had went off to college, way to California. But I said, when God, I went back to God, I said, God, I'm tired of looking at the Word Network. I'm tired of looking at TBN. I need to get in a church. I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. You know these things, Lord. You know this. And right now, Father, I need a deliverance, Lord. I got so much going on in my life, so much clutter, so much confusion, so much sin in my life, Father God. I need a place, a people, a village, Lord Jesus, because I say a village because I was right back in a childlike state because I hadn't left God. I need a village, Lord, to help raise me, to put me back, Lord Jesus, where you once had me, Father God. I desire that fellowship, Father God, but I want it to go above and beyond this time. I never want to go back to the same place. Lord, and behold, I get an invitation to ADM. But prior to that, I said, Lord, if you can just find me this place, I vow to you. I made a vow to God. I said, God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If this is the place that you will have me to be, Father, I will never leave it, Lord, until you tell me it's time to uproot. Even the pastor can't come and tell me that it's time for me to go. This was a thing between me and God. And when God sent me to ADM, when I sit and tell you this, Apostle Temple, First Lady, different people can sit and tell you, I was in that church in there for what, an hour, almost 2 hours, and immediately the Holy Spirit, the rushing waters came to my ear when my pastor got up and started preaching. And I tell you, on this day, he was preaching directly to me. And I heard the rushing waters. That's a confirmation. That's a thing between me and God. And God said, this is it. I went to them. How can I join the church? See, a lot of people sit and they wait, or they feel like they got to be there 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. But see, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and you realize where your help comes from, nobody else can tell you anything. When you truly believe, because you know that's a personal thing between you and God. It's personal. When you say, I look to the hills where my help comes from, that is a personal thing between you and God. You went, see, I took my situation. I confessed the different things that was going on. I told God, I need you, Father, because I did not want to go to all these different places. I was looking for a place of intimacy. I was looking for a place where I knew that I was going to meet God at. I knew that. And from the time that I started in that church and up until now, every Sunday I'm sitting at the edge of my seat, and I'm not sitting at the edge of my seat because I'm there to hear what the apostle and anybody else got to say. I'm there to hear what God is saying to me because I've already sought him. I've already told him, Lord, I need you. And I realized, Lord, that you are the only one that can take me from A to B. You are the only one that's going to be able to deliver me. You are the only one that's going to be able to heal me. And see, when we take our eyes off of the Lord and get caught up in different things, those blessings that were steadily flowing, they come to a halt. So when I went to ADM and I asked God for my deliverance and different things that I was doing, but most of all, my health, we had the apostle put me over the women's ministry, our first gathering. I was able to take my oxygen machine in and show this is where I used to be, but because I sought God, because I was going to him day after day, because I was praising him, because I was worshiping him, because I was fasting, because I was connected to a vine that was constantly and still is growing day by day, this is what I was delivered from. And then infidelity, I had to go to God there too and sit and say, no matter what my circumstances, no matter how I feel, I made a vow to you, Lord. So it doesn't matter what the next person is doing. I got to stay in straight line with you. But see, I had to look unto the hills where my help came from. God showed me where to go. He put the people in my life that was going to nourish me, nurture me. And I'm going to say nourish because I'm being fed every single Monday through Friday, Sunday, sometimes 12 a.m., sometimes 2 a.m., sometimes it does not matter. Whenever the Holy Spirit say this is what we're going to do, trust and believe I'm going to be a part of it because I realized where my help came from. So looking at the commentaries where people have the question marks and God telling me this morning, what is the scripture saying to you? I was able to identify with it. I was able to identify that it was a statement. And the only reason I was able to identify that it was a statement is because of the things that God has allowed me, the steps that God has allowed me to go through. So basically the experience that I experienced with God, the time spent in prayer, the time spent in fasting, the time spent in consecration, praise and worship. And not only that, the times that he had to cut me or hit me with that rod of correction. But I can sit and say that that scripture means so much to me, and I was saying it not really knowing what I was saying. Even back then, when I went to God in 2018 and said what I said to him, I was just speaking. Today, I believe that the Spirit put that scripture in my spirit so because I can be able to tell a testament today as I was saying something that I really didn't know and really didn't understand. To this morning, I took the time out to research it. I took the time out to talk to God about it and not just be saying something because I hear other people say it, but realizing that it is true, realizing that God is my very help in a time of need. On the days that I feel depression, God is the God that takes me out of that funk. He's the one that lets me know you are more than a conqueror. The days that I feel like, oh, I'm just so tired, I can't go anymore, it is God that gives me the strength to continue to move on. In the times of confusion, God is God that gives me the peace. In the time of lack of, God is the one that comes and be my provider. Because why? I'm summoning him. I'm petitioning him. I'm making a statement to him. I'm letting him know. I'm using the words of the Bible. I'm using the words that was inspired by God to man to speak them back to God. Letting him know that you are my help in a time of trouble. You are my help when I can't breathe. You are my help in a time of confusion and conflict. You are my help in times when I may be hungry. And I'm going to tell you this, self. When you constantly reminding God, see, I didn't have to keep asking him. To the point that I believe he showed me because of our personal relationship. He showed me. You don't have to keep asking me. So what I do is I just remind him. When I say that scripture now, it's just a reminder. It's a reminder that me and my Father have. I'm just letting him know, Lord, I thank you. I'm keeping the words in my mind and my heart because it's something that I can just pull out and let him know I'm showing him reverence. At the same time, I'm worshiping him. I'm letting him know that if without you, I'm nothing. This same scripture in the time of shame, this same scripture told me you lift your head up and you walk and you be the woman of God that I told you to be. Stop worrying about what the naysayers say. Stop worrying about the gossip, but worry about the vow, the conversations that you and I have. Because you and I have one conversation, but tomorrow you go and do something else. We can't do that. Once we decide, or once we realize that it is the Lord where our help comes from, we got to stay there. We have to trust God. We have to park there. And let God, you self needs to get out the way. Take your arms now and elbow self out of the way. Self got to get out of the way. And we allow the Holy Spirit to be our leader, our guide, our director, to take us and maneuver us through the times of hard times, maneuver us down those winding paths, maneuver us when we get to the dead end, when we are the fork of the road. We make the right decision because the Holy Spirit is who's given us that decision to tell us if we go to the right or the left. If you get to a dead end, he's the one going to tell you make that U-turn. But as soon as you get 1,000 feet, you make a right. This is what happens when we realize what God is saying to us. When the scriptures become personal to you, when the scriptures become you eating those scriptures and you're believing them, you eating it, you chewing it up, you digesting it. And in the times that you need to bring them back up, you're able to bring them back up in the right time. It is so easy to get caught up in what man says, but what does thus say the Lord? Like I said, in John 11:41, Jesus told his father, thank you for hearing me. That right there just brought a light bulb onto me to say, Nita, you in the vein. You in the vein. You are trusting in what the Lord is saying to you, not worrying about what everybody else says. See, that comes with studying. That comes with depending on the Holy Spirit to be your guide. That comes with knowing that God will not lead you nor forsake you, or neither will he lead you down the wrong path. He's only going to lead you one way, and that's the path of righteousness. That's the path of righteousness. That's in a place, that path of righteousness is going to lead you where? Into holiness, which is a way of life, a way of living, a way of thinking. Everything that you do should come up under the guidelines of holiness. Everything that you do, your father should be letting you know in your time, your secret time with him, servant, well done. Or even if it's something where you fail, you should be able to be in a place to sit and say, okay, I didn't get that well done today, so I'm going to work a little bit harder in my new way of life, in my new way of thinking, because of course we have to have a renewed mind. Of course we cannot think, be conformed of the world. Of course we cannot think how the world do things. We got to stay in the place. We got to stay connected to that vine. And it is so important. God has just been for the last 2 weeks reminding me you are connected to the vine. Not only are you connected to the vine in the spiritual realm, but you connected to the vine in the natural. ADM is the vine right now that's pulling you through. ADM is the vine. How do I know that? Because you see acceleration there. Huh? You see acceleration. God not sitting there. He's not parked. God is moving. God is bringing prophetics through. God is sitting and saying, okay, I got, listen, stay in the car, the pastor and the first lady in the car, so I need you to get in the back seat. And if you can't get in the back seat, I just need you to be in the presence. And if you can't be in the presence in the physical, you stay in the presence in the spirit. Because you know why? God is all up in it. God is that vine that they're connected to. And if you and I stay connected, I'm talking to you, South Africa, Fiji, Canada, Jamaica, all of the United Kingdom, wherever you're at, New York, wherever you're at. I'm talking to you because it's no mistake today that God wanted you to know where your help comes from. You don't have to sit and ask the question. It's a statement. It's a bold statement. When Jesus told God, thank you for hearing me, it was people around. He was bold. He was confident in what he was saying. He wasn't sitting back there and making a whisper. He wanted everybody to know that he sought the Lord in his prayer. He wanted everybody to know that that's where his help came from. He wanted everybody to know that God's Holy Spirit is what was the antidote on that day and time for the mission or of what he was doing on that day. And I'm not going to stay too much longer because it's really not much more to say. But I will sit and say to you, stop second guessing yourself. Stop getting into a place where you're sitting and allowing or quoting scriptures that you truly don't realize or understand what's going on. And when you get into that place, because this is the moral of the story, what God will let me know, you saying something that you don't even understand or realize what you said. So when I went to the scripture, the confusion came into my place, but God gave me the answer. So he was letting me know, I am the help where you come from. I am the person that's going to solve the puzzle. I am the person that's going to, my Holy Spirit is going to give you the answers that is needed in the name of Jesus. So I sit and say unto you today, saints, studying your word, get into a place. I can say it over and over, but I need you to feel the sincerity, the genuineness, because I once was lost, but now I'm found. God placed my feet on solid ground. He put me in a place of growth. He put me in a place where as I went back to my fetal stage, and he brought me from the fetus to the infant, to the toddler, throughout my teens, and now I'm spiritually, I'm growing because we can never be grown. I am growing in the spirit. I am allowing things to that was a roadblock, a hindrance, to get moved out of my way. I'm not confused. That's why when the confusion came in this morning, God wanted to know where I was going to go. See, before I would have parked it and possibly sent Apostle Temple of Scripture and say a text and say, this is what's going on. But see, today I graduated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I graduated into a place where I sought him first in this time of confusion, this web of confusion. And it's not a web of confusion. It was just a test. It was just a test. And that's what we all need to realize. But when you get into that relationship with God, you are able to discern those tests. You're able to apply the wisdom and knowledge that he gives you. I charge you all today. The scriptures that you start, get you a concordance, get you a commentary. You start looking up words, do word searches. To help you identify the different things too, and not sit and get caught up on one word, because the different words can mean different things at different times. And so in the Old Testament, salvation means one thing. In the New Testament, it may mean something else. In Scripture, salvation may mean one thing. It may be just different. Just get into a place where you're studying the word of God. So when situations come, but most of all, what I'm going to leave you with, get to know God. Know him. Know God like you know the skin that's on your body. Know God like you know that your heart is going to pump on today. Know God that when you open your eyes, you'll be able to see. You'll be able to hear. We don't second guess that. We don't second guess if we're going to be able to see. Things like that come suddenly. But you should know God on a continuous basis. Every day. Every day you should learn something new about God. Every day that newness, you should find something different that you can apply into your life. Every day you should be looking for a new expectation that something miraculous, blessings, whatever it may be, is going to come your way. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation is. Why? Because you're connected to the vine. Because that vine is continuously growing over and over, continuously moving. And we do realize that sometimes God has to come and cut prune it. But that doesn't mean that it does not continue to grow. See, the vine is still going. The branches is what get cut off. Don't get yourself cut off, because I can speak about it. I was cut off. And because the time that I was cut off, my situation with my respiratory rose back up. But had I been, I truly believe this on this day, I had to go back. I didn't go back around the mountains for 40 years, but I had to go back around the mountain again. I had to go back and retrace my footsteps. But when I got to the fork of the road this time, I took the right path. So that's why a couple of weeks ago I was able to give you all the testimony of my deliverance, that I don't have lung cancer. I don't have thrombosis of the lungs. I may have asthma, but that may be the throne that's keeping me for not to continuously be prideful or get into a place where I think I'm better, or I think I'm bigger, or I know more than God. It's keeping me into a place of humbleness and humility before the Lord. And I thank him. I thank him because, you know what? Every time that I need a fresh breath, a fresh anointing, God comes to my rescue. He gives me the antidote, whether it's an inhaler, whether it's my nebulizer, whether it's a shot, whether it's some pills. God, he sustains me. His mercy and grace sustains me through it all. And why? Because I lift my eyes up to the hills where my help cometh from. I decree and declare today that you all, each and every one that's under the sound of my voice, start reminding God that this is what you do, that you lift your eyes. And you don't have to physically lift your eyes. You can mentally lift your eyes. It's wherever your eyes is at that point in time. I don't care if it's on your knees, but you're letting God know that you are my help. You are my everything. You are my Jehovah Jireh. You are my everything. You are my God. And there is no other God before me. And if the hills, the mountains is what represent, is your representation to know, or you feel that that's where God is, because that's where he has shown to be in scripture, continue. Allow those mountains to still be where you look up to. Allow it. But you develop that relationship with God. You develop what you want, what the scripture and how the scripture is applied into your life, as long as you don't take it out of context, as long as you don't misrepresent it, as long as you don't go and do something that's out of the will of God, or you don't tell somebody something that's going to make them do something differently. That's why that's where that personal relationship comes from. I leave you on today with peace, love, happiness, but what I ask of you is to get to know God. Stop listening to what other people sit and say, but get to know him for yourself. See, the people that God puts in your life, they're your helpmate. He used them as an example, a visual, because you know people, they have to. Gideon needed signs. So it's a lot of Gideons. But at this point in time, ADM, those who cannot see him over in South Africa and been in the house, so they know. But Fiji, Canada, Jamaica, God put people in your life as living examples. He showed us, just as Jesus walked on this earth as a living example. Jesus says that we would do the same things but greater. We are in a place right now where God has living examples before you. Don't go blinded. Don't stay in the same place. Learn to start taking the scales out of off of your eyes. Take whatever is in your ears that's keeping you. Unblock the hardness of your heart and see what God is doing for you. Because God has raised some giants. The giants have answered the call. And God is doing moving. We sit and talk about time, and I'm telling you all, God is doing some things. And how do I know? Because he has let me know that he is doing, and I believe him, I trust him, and he has never left me nor forsake me or led me down the wrong path. And I'm on the right path this time, and I'm staying on that path, and holiness is my new way of living with no apologies or no explanations to accompany it. So I leave you on today to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let him know that he is your help in a time of trouble, time of need, whatever it is that you need. And then be thankful. Be thankful. Just start praising him and worshiping him in the name of Jesus. So again, we love you. ABM tonight at 8 p.m. And the rest of you all, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Be merry, be blessed, be grateful. Have an attitude of gratitude today. And just thank God for all that he does in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just create.